It doesn't end with the birth of a baby. Just like life only begins with a baby, so it's just the beginning of a wonderful story of hope. And you and I get to play a part in it. That baby was a very special baby. He'd been promised centuries before by God. Well, we celebrated his birthday, so let's now take a look at one of God's promises, and then we'll pass on to the shepherds, and then on to Mary, last of all. So our Old Testament reading came from about 500 years BC, but of course it's looking far ahead. It comprises the first two stanzas of a four-stanza poem, and the single voice that was speaking was God's anointed one. It begins with a great shout of joy, which of course is the theme of today's service. God wraps around his anointed one garments of righteousness and salvation. And he does it in the same holy, careful way that bridegroom and bride dress for their wedding. Now, righteousness is a Godward thing. The anointed one will do whatever God's holy nature requires to make his people righteous in God's sight. Salvation, on the other hand, is an usward thing, and the anointed one will do whatever people need to be saved from sin and its consequences, especially death and hell. The task of the anointed one will be fruitful, just as soil produces growth in a garden. So when people are made righteous, they will respond to God by praising God. In the second stanza, our attention is directed first to Zion and then to all nations, which of course includes you and me here in the UK right now. Keeping silent and remaining quiet apply as much to actions as to speaking words. So the Anointed One won't stop until Zion's righteousness shines out as brightness, better than the word dawn, and her salvation as a blazing torch. In other words, she will be a light to all the nations, and she will have a new nature. So to summarize that Isaiah reading, the Anointed One will bring a three-sided blessing to those who follow him: a new status before God, and rescue from every bondage and threat, a visible righteousness of life because of God's gift of a new nature. So, one, two, three. And that is cause for celebration. I'm sure you'll agree. Praise be to God. Amen. So we come to the shepherds. It was night, an ordinary night, like any other night, until suddenly there was light in abundance, and an angel was there. And suddenly this angel had appeared, and the shepherds were bathed in light and struck with terror. And the angel said, "Don't fear. To you in Bethlehem has been born a Saviour, God's anointed one, and you'll find him wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And then the whole heavenly host appeared, praising God. Now, that is remarkable because, as a class, shepherds had a very bad reputation. They were despised. The nature of their work, for instance, kept them from observing ceremonial law. Also, shepherds were considered to be unreliable, not to say untruthful. They were forbidden to give testimony in a court of law. No reason to suspect these particular shepherds of wrongdoing, but the fact is that the angel came and told them about the birth of God's anointed. Now, Luke's Greek conveys urgency, hurry, let's go and see, hurry up. So they left their sheep, and they found in Bethlehem exactly as the angel had told, the baby lying in a manger. And they told Mary and Joseph and everyone they met exactly what the angel had said. And all who heard it were amazed. And so they returned to their sheep. God had sent his angel to them to tell them about the birth of his anointed one. They'd gone, they had found, they had seen with their own eyes this special baby, exactly as they had been told. No wonder they rejoiced and praised God. And that brings us to Mary. Miriam, to give her her Hebrew name. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So where the shepherds had spoken out, Mary, in total contrast, kept all these things in the inmost recesses of her being. She also had seen an angel, Gabriel, who had told her she would have a son by the Holy Spirit, whom she was to call Yeshua, Jesus as we know him. He would be the Son of the Most High. He'd be given the throne of his ancestor David, and his kingdom would be endless, everlasting, eternal. And Gabriel had explained how she would conceive without having a husband. He then told her about her elderly cousin Elizabeth, who had been pregnant already for 6 months. When Mary left Nazareth straight away to visit Elizabeth in Judea, Elizabeth confirmed to Mary all that Gabriel had said. But in Bethlehem, no one knew, but Mary and Joseph, no one knew the truth. So the shepherds confirmed to them what, until that moment, had been their own secret. That God, who had created the universe and every star within it, who had created the earth and everything on it, including humans in his own image, who had chosen Abraham and his descendants to be his people, with whom he made an everlasting covenant, and who had done mighty, extraordinary things. This God himself had come to live among human beings as a weak and defenseless baby lying in a manger. Then, when the baby was just 8 days old, they took him to be circumcised and gave him the name Yeshua, Jesus, which means he saves, just as Gabriel had told them to, because this was God's anointed one. Praise be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Michael.